And good morning, Cora, and good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. I'm Bruce Argyle, and this is our regular Thursday morning Community Conversations program. As we start today, a big shout out to Vicky, Ingrid, Amber and Ash, and a big thank you to you for your input over the last 4 weeks for our All Things Financial series. Well done, all of you. And if you missed the series or you'd like to have another listen, it's all podcast for you. Thanks, Greg, on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 website. So go there. And while you're there, of course, why don't you complete our listener survey? We're wanting your feedback in terms of determining the future directions of this community radio station. Big shout out to all the amazing community groups, the volunteers, the people who make such a difference in our community. And I'm thinking this week in particular of all the land care groups. Wow, just amazing the work that you guys are doing. Today, we have a change of tack and we're going to be talking about working relationships. How, not personal relationships, but working relationships. How do we best make them work when we're all trying to achieve something with our group or with a committee or whatever it is, and how do we make these things work? And I have twisted Megan Buntine's arm to come on air with us again and talk these things through. And Megan's come up with a whole lot of fantastic ideas. Are you there, Megan? We're going to try and link you in on the phone this morning.
I'm getting about every second word, but we'll persevere.
We're going to just try and sort that slight technical challenge out, Megan. And while we're doing that, we're going to have a listen to your first song this morning, which your selection, Pharrell Williams and Happy. What a great way to start the program.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. And
And you're with Bruce Argyle, and we're talking working relationships this morning. How do we make relationships work? We're not talking about those personal relationships, but relationships that we have with other people where we are trying to achieve something as a group, as a community organisation, in the workplace or whatever. And Megan has kindly joined us. We've had a technical challenge this morning, so we think that we're okay to go, Megan. How are you going, Megan?
Yeah, that's much better. I can hear you really well now.
Fantastic. So let's start with 101 to start with, Megan. When we talk about establishing working relationships or respectful relationships, what are the real basics there? What's the starting point?
I think really the starting point is, what is the common goal? What is it that we're trying to work on together to achieve, and focusing on that, whatever our purpose or our aim is. So if it's working for a community organisation, you know, what is the purpose of the organisation? Why have we come together in the first place? And, you know, recognising that we're all different individuals, and yet we are going to have differences of opinion, but if we could just focus on that sort of thing that's brought us all together, and that's, I guess, your guiding light, that everyone's working and committed to that overall, that purpose.
Terrific. And I'd like to share the first of three things that Professor John Chudley once shared with me from the University of Western Sydney as being absolutely critical in any working relationship, any partnership, any group that you're trying to achieve something. And he said three things are absolutely critical. I'm going to give you the first one now. It's exactly what Megan has just shared, and that is that we need to have a common goal, a common purpose, a common vision, so that we're actually, I guess, to use the old cliche, on the same page, Megan, you know, that we're that we're all trying to achieve the same thing. We're not pulling in different directions.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's interesting. I think when you read about group dynamics too, that notion of forming, storming, norming and performing, I'm going to never get the order right, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And the final phrase, when you look at that model of group dynamics, is once you've achieved your purpose, is dying for the group or whoever's come together. So it's almost like once you've achieved your purpose, you've got to then reinvent yourself and come up with a new shared purpose that takes you on that next step of your journey that you're working on together. You're all pulling in the same direction. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff to think about in that space.
Let's look again at the basics, Megan. I mean, relationships, we all know, whether personal or working relationships, you know, we all have our challenges. And I mean, it comes down to communication in the first instance, doesn't it, Megan? So isn't that one of the biggies?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Communication is like the bedrock of good relationships, isn't it? And I think if you sort of unpack the communication stuff a bit as well, it's about really listening and listening to understand what's going on, particularly for the other person. You know, where are they coming from? You know, how can I help them meet their aims and objectives? And through that, we build that relationship. And I love the old saying about you have two ears and one mouth, and use them in that proportion. And I have to say, I often struggle with that myself, but I think it's a good reminder that you want to be listening to what the other person has got to say and listening to understand where they're coming from. And all too often, I think, when we're listening to someone, we're listening with a view to formulating our response to them rather than listening to what are they trying to communicate to us and to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, and Megan, in this, you know, very fast society, this 30-second society that we tend to live in these days, we are, and I know I do this myself, that we're inclined to rush to a reply, to a response, to jump in rather than do that understanding piece that you're just talking about there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing, and this is something I'm definitely guilty of, is, you know, not letting people finish. It's sort of like you get that excited about what do you want to share with them, and it's almost like I find myself cutting people off sometimes. It's like, no, you've just got to bite your tongue and let them finish what they want to say and exhaust what it is they're trying to communicate, and then it's your turn. So it's like a dance, isn't it, between, you know, sharing and giving each other turns at speaking and communicating and getting your information across. And the more you do that, I guess, the better you come, that level of understanding.
Hmm. Megan, one of the hallmarks of many of our community groups, many of our not-for-profit organisations, is the diversity of the people that they have in the group. You know, the diversity of the membership, the different outlooks. But beneath that, or alongside that, they're usually a part of that group for the same reason. They want to achieve that goal that you spoke about at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that diversity. Of getting involved with community-based organisations is, you know, we meet different people, have different viewpoints and different experiences and so forth to ourselves, and we learn from that. So, you know, forming relationships with people who are outside of sort of, you know, our immediate family group or the people who are like us is a great way to broaden your own mind.
Fantastic. We're going to talk more things about working relationships in a moment, but... Megan, we've got Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy. We're on a bit of a happy theme this morning. That's a good way to start the day, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought happy was a good way to a good sort of a background to you know, interpersonal relationships. Let's try and have relationships that make us happy, make us feel happy.
Fantastic.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. When you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy.
And you're with Yarra Valley FM 99.1. I'm Bruce Argyle. You've joined us for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. We're talking working relationships this morning, and how do we get along, work with other people to achieve the goals that we have for our particular group, for our particular organisation. And on the Zoom line now, with the technical issues hopefully solved, Megan, we have Megan Buntine. And for those of you who I'll just give Megan's contact details, because I haven't before. If you want to contact Megan after this program, you can email her on megan@mjbconsulting.net.au, or you can have a look at her website, which is the same, mjbconsulting.net.au. There's all sorts of resources on there for community groups around governance, good governance of your group, strategy, resources, and so on. So there you go. And Megan, I'm hoping you can hear me there, because otherwise it's going to be a very boring program, because people are going to have to listen to me for the whole hour.
I can hear you loud and clear now. That's great.
That is terrific. So we were talking the 101 of sort of working relationships, and I guess the obvious question is, how do we ensure these things happen, Megan? What gives us the best chance of having productive, constructive working relationships with other people?
You know, I was reflecting on this this question, and I sort of thought it comes back to the old adage of treating people the way you want to be treated. I think that's a really good place to start from.
Yep.
And, you know, it can be as simple as just putting a smile on your face when you first meet someone and having a positive positive initial interaction. And that really, you know, it's that thing about first impressions, isn't it? You know, taking interest in the person, who are they outside of the formal context in which you've been brought together, you know? Do they have a dog? How old are their kids? You know, where do they live? What do they do for hobbies? That sort of thing. It's about building those connections with people. And it all sort of, I guess, greases the wheels of relationships, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think all too often we get caught up, Megan, in the immediate tasks, the funding application that has to be in by next week, or you know, some particular training thing, or we need someone to do this, and we lose sight of the fact that we're all people. In most cases, in most groups that you and I are involved with, we're talking volunteers, aren't we? You know, so people who are giving up their time.
Absolutely. So, you know, that sort of brings another dimension to it too, doesn't it? Because you really want to make sure that it's about what people get out of the relationship too that makes them stay and want to continue to be involved. And I think that I'm a bit of a student of the fish philosophy. I don't know if people have heard of the fish philosophy.
No, I don't know how to fish, so you'll have to tell me, Megan.
Googling that, it's not about actually going fishing, but it's about one of the – there's four pillars of it, and one of them is about having fun in the what you do and the way you interact with people. So, you know, the project or the job or whatever it is that we're in together might be really serious and important, but at the same time, we don't need to take ourselves too seriously. We can have a bit of fun with each other, and it makes that sort of that connection and that relationship all the more enjoyable.
Well, you better tell us what the I and the S and the H stand for then. We're all intrigued now.
I'll have to go and grab my bookmark off the side of my computer.
We'll
come back to you with that one.
Good on you. Good on you, Megan. So why is it why is this important? Like why is it important that, you know, that we do establish and maintain these, you know, constructive working relationships?
I guess, you know, if we have those positive relationships, it makes the doing of whatever it is that we do so much more effective and more efficient. You know, we're not working against each other. We're focusing on our shared purpose. We're working together. We're getting the most out of the, you know, particularly if we're volunteers and we've got limited time resources, perhaps, you know, getting the most out of that time. I think that, you know, making sure that when we're working with people, even people, you know, who we might find a bit difficult, finding that sort of that commonality or that's what's something in that person that I do think that I do admire or that I do resonate with. I think back to a recent experience I had on a particular board where there was one fellow on that board who he could be really difficult in board meetings, but you know, I was able to find a spark within his personality that really resonated with me. And I quite enjoyed working with him, as much as he could be quite difficult and challenging. But sometimes it's good to have people like that.
Yes.
And the rest of us are all very much thinking down the same lines. You need somebody who's going to sort of crack that open and make you think in a different way and be a bit more critical around the decisions that you're making, perhaps.
And let's face it, Megan, we want people who have different backgrounds, different experiences, and are passionate about whatever the particular cause is that our group is involved with.
Absolutely, because it brings new ways of thinking, it brings new ideas that the rest of us may not have thought about, it brings new possibilities up that we can pursue. So, yeah, it's really important to have that. You've just got to find a way of working with it and embracing it. I think, you know, compassion practice is something that I'm quite interested in too, and it's really thinking about it from the point of view of even though somebody might be being difficult at the time, thinking kindly towards them insofar as, look, they're doing the best they can at the moment with the resources that they have. And if you can come from that point of view, it often, or at least I find it often helps me get past wanting to throttle people sometimes.
On that happy note, we might go for another song, Megan, but after the next song, listeners, we're going to look at what does go wrong and the impact of that and what happens when those relationships are just not working. So, here we go, Working on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves.
I just can't wait till the day when you
And you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. There's two very good reasons right now why you might want to go onto our website. The first one would be that you might want to listen to the podcasts of the last four programs, the financial series, All Things Financial, that you might have missed. And secondly, you might want to go on there to complete the current listener survey, where we're looking for your response to the question, what direction do you want our community radio program, our community radio station, to go in the coming years. On the Zoom line this morning, I've got Megan Buntine, and we're talking working relationships. And in particular, Megan, we're up to that point in the program right now where we're going to talk about what happens when they go wrong, when things do go wrong, and what are the impacts of that for the group that we're involved with, or whatever. Do you want to, well, I'm not sure, you might even have an example or two, Megan, but things do go bad sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, unfortunately they do. And, you know, with the community groups that I, and not-for-profit organisations that I work with, you know, often there's horror stories really about difficulties that they've had, and they really come down to interpersonal conflict. And I think the thing that underpins that is bad behaviour that between people that is not acceptable. And I think that this is why it's really important for organisations, even the smallest of organisations, to have at least a code of conduct in place.
Yes.
They have no other sort of policies or guiding documents or things like that. Start with a code of conduct, because I think 90% of the problems that organisations have is due to people not behaving towards each other in the right way. So if you've got something set out in writing at the outset, you make sure that's a living document, you give people a copy of that when they come along, you stick it on your website or on your Facebook page so everybody understands what is the expected standard of behaviour. So just having that in place can prevent a lot of it from happening in the first place. And then if you do get to a point where there are issues, it gives you something to go back to hold people accountable to, just be able to say, look, guys, you know, what's going on here doesn't actually fit with what we've said is how we behave towards each other.
Mm. And listeners, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. There's lots of draft codes of conduct out there, aren't they, Megan, that can be easily adapted to your group?
Absolutely. You know, from one extreme to the other, you know, simple single pages to multi-page documents. There's plenty of examples out there. Just Google code of conduct or get in touch with me and I'll point you in the right direction.
There you go.
And, you know, I think that we deal with within our organisations, we deal with things from the full gamut, from little niggles to, you know, outright shocking behaviour. Even to the point where people become litigious and, you know, threatening to sue each other and those sorts of things. And it's horrible. Nobody wins. Everybody's damaged somehow. Even if you get to a resolution and come out the other end, or if one person leaves, there's still sort of damage, the residual damage to the organisation there that you need to come back from. So, you know, it's best if you can stop it from happening in the first place, that's the best way to go.
Terrific. And listeners, I shared with you before the first of three things I wanted to share this morning from John Chudley, professor of University of Western Sydney. The first was that we need to have a common goal or purpose. And the second one is that we need to build trust, and that we have trust among the members of the group, whatever we're trying to achieve. And obviously, Megan, when those working relationships break down, trust goes out the window, unfortunately. And the group becomes very distracted, doesn't it, from what is that purpose that it actually had in the first place. And what happens, Megan, when things just, you know, shall we say, totally break down? You know, if we get to that point where we just feel we can't, you know, we can't work with someone or with a group in particular?
Yeah, I think I'll just go back a step. I think that trust is a really good point to raise, because, you know, while you were talking about that, it made me think of an instance that I've been part of, and certainly, you know, that relationship breakdown with that organisation occurred, and it was apparent that there was no trust in place, and it's a really good point to think about. So, as you say, you know, I guess what you want to try your best to be able to resolve the issues and get people around the table and talking together and try and rebuild some of that trust and, you know, act get in there early and act decisively and be supportive. I think, you know, pretending that it's not happening and that it's going to go away of its own miraculous accord is not realistic. And the longer you leave things unresolved, the worse they get, and the more that trust does break down, and the harder it is to come back from, quite frankly. And, you know, sometimes it does get to the point where, unfortunately, you do have to accept that it's beyond being able to be resolved. If you've made all the efforts, you've come together, you know, potentially you've brought in external mediators, done a whole range of things to try and resolve the situation, you know, potentially you may just have to pack up and walk away from that for the benefit of yourself and everybody else involved.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Megan, great suggestions there, very, very practical. And, of course, listeners, there are a whole lot of resources on Megan's website if you want to have a look there on mjbconsulting.net.au, which includes good governance, strategic planning, and a whole lot of other things. So go there, have a look, see what you'll find. And Megan, I'm also wondering, in these COVID times, it's been almost exactly 12 months, hasn't it, since the challenge hit us. And I'm just wondering what the impact has been of, you know, having to work online with the restrictions that we have, not being able to meet face to face and so on. So let's have one of your favourite songs and then come back and talk about what are the particular challenges, the impact on working relationships of having to be online, not being able to be face to face and so on. There you go. And Megan, we've got Queen and You're My Best Friend.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
You're with Bruce Argyle on Community Conversations here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're talking working relationships. And I posed the question just before that last song of how have online restrictions, limitations changed the way we have been working with other people? Megan, an initial thought as soon as I share that with you to start with, what comes to mind?
My initial thought when you asked how working online has changed our relationships is I think that it's made us all become a little bit slack and informal. I think to having the tracksuit pants on under the desk when we're doing Zoom meetings and we're all in our finery from the waist up. But I think just it's interesting in doing that, I think that, you know, the fact that we're casualing down the way we dress, actually it has a ripple effect through to our behaviour and the way we interact with people, you know. And also the fact that, you know, you might have the kids running around in the background or the dogs barking or whatever it may be. So I think it's actually caused us to be a bit more informal in our workplace relationships, which I'm not saying that's either good or bad. I just think it's an interesting observation. The other thing that really stood out to me in relation to this question was the non-verbal cues that we get off each other when we're in a room, for example, having a meeting or having a conversation face-to-face, they're not as obvious online. So, you know, it might be similar to phone-based relationships in the past. We miss out on some of those non-verbal cues. So, you know, somebody might be not very happy with what we're telling them, but we're not picking up on those other cues because they're not so obvious when we're only seeing people from the chest up or whatever on a computer screen. So I think we've just got to be a bit mindful about some of that stuff, and maybe it means that we have to check in with people, use our words more to sort of just confirm, check with people that we're understanding what they're saying correctly, we're interpreting what they're telling us in the right way.
And Megan, going back to your comments you made at the beginning of the program, the importance of taking an interest in people and where they're at, my observation of having been on many Zoom, Microsoft Teams and Skype meetings over the last 12 months is that we perhaps become more task-focused rather than thinking about the group as a group. We zoom in, you know, and go straight to, you know, item one on the agenda, item two, without saying, so, you know, we don't have that 10 minutes or 15 minutes that we often have in a, you know, a community group or a meeting forum where we might be able to catch up with people and have a chat before we start.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think I've certainly observed that too, is there's less of the chit chat. And I think that sort of the good thing that comes out of that is that we get through our meetings a lot more quickly.
We do.
We do get down to the business of what we're trying to do. But I think, there's you know, some negatives out of that because we're not building those relationships. As you say, we're not finding out about what you did on the weekend or, you know, what hobbies might be, those sorts of things. So we're not building that, that richness, if you like, of the connections with people in that way. So, you know, whilst I think things like Zoom and Skype and so forth have really opened up a whole new way of working in and the benefits of that, we've got to not forget about there's certain benefits of being face-to-face with people that you don't get through being online, which I think we need to make a point of still, where we can, where it's possible, catching up with people occasionally in person to be able to continue and maintain those sorts of connections.
And hasn't it been great, listeners, to be able to meet with people back in person in some of our forums over the last few weeks? And we hope, with the vaccine on the horizon, we hope that that will be able to continue. Megan, the one thing I notice, whether it's online or whether it's in person, is often that we don't draw out the contributions of all the people in the group. So sadly, you know, and perhaps I fall into this category as well, you know, there are times where one or two or three people dominate the conversation, whatever that conversation is about a particular item, and we don't draw out the person who's sitting quietly in their box on the Zoom screen in the corner for their views or their contributions, which often then are not made.
I think that's a really good point. And I think that that's where it requires a good leader for your organisation to be able to get the more quiet people to have their contribution as well, and sometimes manage those of us who are a little bit more rowdy so that we're not monopolising the conversation so that those other people do get a chance to put in their two bobs worth. But I think the other thing that comes to mind for me off the back of what you just said is the importance for all of us to reflect on our achievements and celebrate our achievements as an organisation, because all too often I think we're very forward-focused about, okay, well, what's our plan, what are we going to do, how are we going to achieve our purpose, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's really important to, along the way, look back and reflect and celebrate and acknowledge, because that's what can help keep you motivated and keep you striving towards achieving the overall. And it's just a nice thing to do, is to look at, okay, well, look how far we've come, look how much we've actually achieved. And that, you know, that can be a way of acknowledging the more quiet people as well, who are sort of the quiet achievers in the background, and recognising what it is that they've done to help us get to where we are.
You're listening to Megan Buntine and I'm Bruce Hargold. We've been talking working relationships. If you've missed the program this morning, it will be podcast. Thanks very much, Greg, on our Yarra Valley FM 99.1 website. We are almost out of time, Megan, believe it or not. And I think we're going to have to actually wrap things up there, aren't we? Looking across here at Cora. And thank you, listeners, for being a part of the program this morning. If you have an idea that you would like to share, that you'd like to hear us talk about here on radio, or your group has a story to tell, we'd love to hear from you as well. Megan, we're going to have to say bye there. Thank you. Thank you so much for your input on a quite challenging topic this morning.
Thank you. Yes, it's always good to sort of unpack these ideas and have a conversation and see where that takes us, isn't it?
It is. And really, nothing is more important, Megan. So thanks, everybody. We'll look forward to another conversation, same time next week, 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. Have a great week, everybody.